Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Can we hear from my man Grady Jarrett talking about the Cowboys? We've been talking about everybody else. Grady says he's preparing for Dak Prescott and this Cowboy offense.
I think always keep in mind that he has the ability, if lanes aren't disciplined, if you don't account for his athletic ability, he has the ability to extend plays and run and make first downs or however long. So you have to respect the athletic ability that he does have. But he's always been a pass first quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He's been a guy who can get the ball on whatever part of the field is need to.
So hopefully, again, we're able to shut down the run because they don't run the ball. Mm-hmm. And then you're forcing Dak in the drop backs a lot more than you want or he wants. And, Mike, that sets up an opportunity for maybe us to get to him on Sunday.
Right. So, guys, we've already talked about the Cowboys. I know that you feel that they've surely missed their window in years past. But this year they got a talent gap because of the money and how sort of top-heavy they are. As our buddy Fish mentioned out in Dallas yesterday, they've got obviously some brand-name guys, but they don't have the worker bees that step up when other guys go down. So they don't stop the run. I'm looking forward to us being able to do everything we love doing, Carl, which is we can run if we want, we can throw if we want, we can do play action off of the establishing the run. So, I mean, to me, this really does, you know, again, if everyone does their jobs, let's get after it. It looks like you're not going to see Lindstrom. He's listed as questionable, by the way, today. Dahlman, who came back from his injury, is also listed as questionable. And Troy Anderson is also questionable. Rook Aro-Ro-Ro is out. I told you his ankle looked real bad when he was limping off the field on Sunday down in Tampa. But, yeah, so Chris Lindstrom looks like quite – that doesn't mean you can't play, but Hinton certainly stepped up and did a hell of a job last week.
We got some depth at O-line. Coach mentioned that to us while we were up there on Wednesday. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com today for all your Man Cave needs. Mike mentioned this to start the show. What is up with these young kids? Malachi Corley, what are you doing, son? This is how it sounded last night as it looked like it was going to be a touchdown.
Malachi Corley, as he got into the end zone, dropped the football. And they are going to make sure that he didn't drop the ball before he broke the plane. Malachi Corley, it turns out, makes a rookie mistake. He dropped the ball before he broke the plane of the end zone, celebrating his touchdown. The ball was loose and went through the back of the end zone. And because the ball was live, it becomes a touchback. It's a turnover. And now Houston has the ball at their own 20-yard line. So this game stays scoreless.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it when it happened, and I was like, what the hell? That's why I asked Brian McFadden about it. Look, I just thought in the old days, you'd get a few steps inside the end zone, you know, Billy White Shoes Johnson, do your thing, right? I mean, you know, do it over the goalpost, do a dunk, put it over your shoulder, you know, like in the old Cowboys used to in the 70s, the Steelers, like, you know, Lynn Swan. But why? I've never understood what the deal was as soon as you get within a millisecond of the plane. I mean, take it and celebrate it, man. Either way, really dopey. And, of course, you know, on the heels, and Al Michaels mentioned it, on the heels of our game, you know, with what happened with Pitts, you know, it's just wacky. Makes no sense.
It doesn't. Aaron Rodgers was talking about the fact that the season was on the line last night. If you missed it, Jets win. They beat the Texans. And here's what Rodgers had to say.
Kind of season on the line there in the second half. Obviously, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but mentally, to go to 2-7 would have been real, real tough. Hopefully, it's given us confidence so that we can beat anybody because we feel like we could.
Right. I mean, when you see them play the kind of defense they did at times, and you see all the weapons, scary moment last night when Davante Adams gets sort of upended and lands back on his head.
Yeah.
He goes out. Chris, he did come back in the game, though, right? He did come back in, but it was kind of scary for a minute. But, yeah, man, we talked about.
Can I say something real quick about Davante Adams, Mike? He's dropping way too many balls.
Big time. Jets fans were letting him hear it last night. And when he made the catch, he kind of got the Bronx cheer.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody was all excited and like, oh, I'm reuniting with my homeboy. He's dropping way too many balls.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he got a touchdown to your point, but like he's looking for him, dropping dimes to him, and he can't hold on to the rock. So that whole thing has still not quite worked like we thought it would.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness.
Yeah.
You got to go in there.
You got to help Davante Adams come out of there.
Look, when you got Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Aaron Rodgers, you shouldn't be freaking 3-6 with that. I mean, regardless of whenever Hassan Reddick showed up, that's why people in New York were losing their minds. And I guess Woody Johnson said, I got to fire Saleh. So we'll see. But last night, it was, I mean, the first half was like watching paint dry. Oh. And then the second half, all of a sudden, it got very entertaining. Again, for the Texans, one of the more reliable kickers, Kai Fairbairn, he was hot garbage last night. Missed a couple of kicks for the Texans, and then the Jets pulled away.
Let me hear Adams, by the way, after the game, talking about how they finished.
be able to come home and have a bad start. You know, we're just going to put it how it should be labeled. It was not the start that we were supposed to have or should have had based off what we were presented with. So to be able to come out here and finish this game, you know, in front of in MetLife, and, you know, obviously my first win as a Jet, and to be able to do that at home, it was special for me.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, they have potential. We know that. We'll see where this goes. Mike, Dogs taking on the Gators. It's the cocktail party. 14.5, is that the latest number I just saw, Chris? You can double check that.
Yeah, I really want to jump all over that because you feel that you know, a young quarterback, Lagway, is going to get sort of rushed and blitzed and certainly get after him. They blitzed up the yin-yang last time they played in the cocktail party. And just, you know, it always goes back to Carson Beck, that poll question where, like, literally 50.5% of our audience felt they still don't trust Carson Beck. And some guys would say there's too many drops and the receiver core is not elite. But I just think, to me, if you're Bobo, run the damn ball. You know, and you're physical, and then you set up your play action, and don't. I mean, he'll probably come out shooting, but I just think, you know, you got to use ETN, man. You picked him up, you stole him from Florida for a game just like this.
Yeah, Mike, it's 15.
Okay,
the Big O just mentioned it down the line. It's 15, so.
I'm perilously close to jumping on this one.
I know. Me too. I'm looking at it. I've been looking at it all day, and I'm just like, I feel like the Dogs are going to be fine with this rest.
By the way, Carl's down at State Farm. He's on TV tonight as the Hawks are in action, right? With FanDuel, FanDuel Network. Just real quick, Mark Bowman from MLB Network, of course, covers the Braves every day. He says not so fast on putting Charlie Morton out to pasture. He will be 41 here in a couple of days, and he says that Charlie Morton is still interested in returning for another season with the Braves. Needless to say, it wouldn't be for $20 million a year.
No, here's the deal, and I'll take him for cheap. I mean, you paid him $20 million over the last few seasons because that was the going rate, and you felt like that's what he, you know, was going to get. Not now, Mike, half of that. And I'm being serious.
I mean, the going rate for a veteran pitcher like that, I think 15, 14 would be fine. I'm down with it. You're right. But it would be interesting. Now, that gets us to, with the addition of a guy that Carl is so excited about, Griffin Canning. Yeah, again, playing on a Bad Angels team, over 90 starts last year. So you throw in Charlie, you got Schwellenbach, you got Ronaldo Lopez, Chris Sale, all of a sudden you got a pitching staff.
Now, yeah, it may go from
and
nothing
Strider,
to something.
Strider eventually returns.
Yeah. Now, listen, that's my concern. I said it yesterday. We can talk about the lineup all we want, guys. That's going to be okay.
Right.
We got to figure out who the hell we're throwing out there for 30 starts. And if you're not going to bring back Freed, and we said yesterday, this was yesterday, and if you're not bringing back Charlie Morton, today that may change with the report from Bowman if he's interested. Mike, I kind of hope he is. Listen, at this point in his career, I think you're asking a lot for him to be starting 30 games or 35 starts or whatever it might be. It still doesn't deter me from going out and doing what you want to do, which is add to the staff.
Right.
Let's go still add some arms. Because you're going to have injuries. You're going to have stuff that takes place during the season.
I do think, though, with this window, we talk about a window of opportunity. You know, you've got this young, you know, your young nucleus is locked up. You're getting Acuna back. You've seen what the big heavy hitters were. You think there's any surprise that almost everybody that made it to the AL and NLCS except for Cleveland is paying buku bucks? You've got to spend more on pitching. Got to. Well,